My name is Josh Williams. I'm one of the teachers here at Elm City Vineyard. And we will be talking about hearing from God today. So, as Matt said, we started our series on Lent last week. We're going through spiritual practices, specifically how to encounter God, and by that, then have a spiritual life with God. So, in case you didn't see the slide before, here it is again. It's pretty beautiful. And really, like, try these things out. Like, they're really helpful, and we've had, I think, this is our third year of doing it, so you'll hear my Lenten commitment later on in this talk. I'm just going to tell you now. It happened, so that was good, and there's a cool story behind it. And yeah, it's just a good thing to do with all of us together. You might find that when it comes to April 24th, and other people are saying the good things that God's done in their life and in the lives of their friends, you might have wanted to try it out a little bit more. I know that was kind of my thought the first time around, because I was like, oh, I'm kind of doing it. But no, there's a lot of good things happening, and I'm excited that we're doing it together. And ask each other, what's your commitment? we have a lot of questions that we usually ask. You know, how is your spring break? How are you doing? Let's make what's your commitment one of them, and just see what people are saying, see what they might want to say. It will be good. So we're talking about hearing God's voice today. And we talked last week about the pre-made decision, about intentionality. And the problem of that one was that there's a lot of chaos that comes 15 minutes before you decide to go somewhere. Then the problem with hearing from God is that there's a lot of baggage there. Hearing from God isn't just a phrase you can say simply, and it's quickly understood. It's hard, and there's a lot of ignorance around it, and that makes it tough for all of us. Can we really trust a living voice that might speak to us right this very second? And in fact, there actually might be reasons why we should be a little bit disconcerted by this, hearing the voice of God, and also maybe even in the spirituality that a lot of us are trying to pursue here at ECV. And some confusion might just come from language. If you don't know who God is, then hearing from him might be a strange activity. Don't know who he is, haven't heard much of his story, but he's speaking to me. What does that mean? If the Bible has been used to put down you or others, then maybe reading from the Bible isn't exactly the easiest experience. And if church has been a toxic experience in the past, then coming to one is much braver than the average churchgoer might realize. It's actually a step of significant faith. Yet for some people, they might just see that as the thing that you do every Sunday. So hearing from God is kind of stuck in these circles of confusion. And I think what we're going to try to do today is get it out of confusion and into something that we desire and that God desires for us, that it's actually good for us to hear from God. So the spiritual life is good, but it's also surrounded by misunderstandings and complications. Some might say like the best things in life are often surrounded by those things. So we have to press in and we have to press through to get to them. And the sad fact is that often shapes the dialogue for all of us, whether we're aiming for a life with Jesus or not. So a few years ago, I was getting to know someone who was pretty hostile to the life of faith. Just didn't really want to hear about God, religion. And I know some of you might have experiences with talking about faith or with spiritual experiences. And it wasn't the type of hostility that shuts down a conversation, someone that just says, you know, God talk, I'm out of here. But it was actually the type of hostility that opens up conversation. People can't help to talk about how much they don't like religion or don't like God. They kind of keep pursuing these conversations. You're kind of wondering, why is that happening? If you don't like God, why do you keep talking about God? So this guy had a lot of questions about how I lived my life. And like others in this community, I'm trying to live an integrated life, one with transparency. So I mentioned things that are happening in my life that happen to be things with God and about my life with God. And I also trust that Jesus is good news for all people. So my faith isn't really disconnected from others. I think God has something to say about the lives of others, just like I have something to say about my own life. I can't keep it just personal or just individual. And one central part of my spiritual life is hearing God. It's speaking with God through scripture and through prayer. And this is often intriguing and also, as you might imagine, confusing for my friends who don't follow Jesus. And this particular friend got a bit riled up at the trust and comfort I find in certain passages of scripture. You let that book think for you, he almost shouted at me. Well, no, that's not really how it works. Maybe it'd be better if it worked that way. Like, I don't know. It doesn't work that way for me. But no, it's not a place where I turn off my brain. But Scripture is actually a place where I start to talk with God, where I really see what He has for me, and where the things that are in Scripture grow in their authority in my life because I find them to be true. So I can read a promise from Jesus in the New Testament, and I can ask, God, is that promise for me? And I kind of feel an internal yes. I feel something stirring, and then I pursue it, and I see how God fulfills that promise. And even with more challenging texts, I often feel a pull from God to say, stay here, find me in this text, even if it's hard. And that can be really difficult, and we've talked about that at ECV before, hard passages, and how we stay with the text. So hearing God's voice is central to life with God. And let's just do a little bit of a imagination exercise here. There's songs that we sing at ECV. I give myself away so He can use me. Or, He loves us, oh how He loves us. Do any of those lyrics sound like they could be followed up with, but God never speaks to me, but He never talks to me at all. His voice just isn't real. I'd be a little bit concerned if that was true. When we give ourselves away to God, any small part, even just a decision to come to church to see what maybe God has to offer, even a decision to say, yes, I think God loves me, or maybe I don't know that He loves me, but I want Him to love me, then I think we see that God's more than willing to speak to us personally. It'd actually be foolish if He didn't. God doesn't want to leave us in confusion. He wants to guide us, and this is something we have to learn to trust. This testimony starts in places like Proverbs, an Old Testament book, and the message only becomes stronger as God finds more ways to make His love close to people. This is just a text from Proverbs. Keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. There's something personal about that. It's not just an ancient book. You don't dust off the cover. It's not just the Bibles that are in your pews. It's something about the word being in your heart. So I think there's something there. There's a little bit of a mystery that I hope we'll unpack today. So God desires to make His word dwell in and among us. And this is one of the primary reasons that Jesus came to the earth, to be with us. And as you might imagine, Jesus had a lot of things to say about hearing from God. And often Jesus' guidance feels more like connection rather than clarity. In the stories of Jesus, people are often confused by what He says. And I wonder if we would have a time travel machine and go back and we're like, yeah, let's hear what Jesus says, let's hear these teachings. And we'd just hear things, and not even just because of the cultural context, but we'd just probably be confused, and we'd see people being confused at Him. I think that's kind of crazy, but Jesus often speaks in parables, in mysterious sayings, and then He really stays with us. And that's one thing that's clear. People who remain close to Jesus continue to learn and grow and to gain understanding. As we learned last week, we might say that the disciples have committed to a pre-made decision to stay by Jesus, even in moments of confusion, because ultimately, Jesus always brings clarity. Even the Pharisees, the religious group that usually attempts to frame Jesus, to trap Him, even they receive clarity from Jesus and His teachings about hearing the voice from God, because they're staying, even if for them it's to try to trap Jesus some more. And in a way, it's a response to my friend from earlier who asked about, is the Bible thinking for you? Instead of a robotic or an emotionally distant relationship, God offers an image of a relationship, of connection. And that's what I think Jesus is saying it's all about. And so there's a section from Scripture where Jesus talks about this. It's actually after Jesus called the Pharisees spiritually blind, and it's after His work of healing a blind man. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus uses figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what He was telling them. So this is, again, one of the metaphors that Jesus is using, one of the things that He's saying. And at the end, the author admits that the Pharisees just didn't get it. I don't know what that looked like for them just to be confused. But thankfully, it's not the end of the story. And maybe even for us, that's confusing. There's a man, there's a thief, there's a sheep, there's gate. This stuff can get confusing. even though this is a nice little image, maybe that will help us. But I think we'll see that there's a basic arc developing. There is a shepherd, and the shepherd does lead his sheep. And the way the leading works is through the shepherd speaking, through the shepherd speaking to the sheep, them hearing and understanding, even recognizing the shepherd, and then following in the direction of his voice. So I'm not sure if the shepherd says, hey, we're going to this direction, to this place, but he says, come. He says, follow me. So again, it might not be the most specific thing ever, but it is the shepherd's voice, and the sheep do seem to recognize it. And I think hold on to that because it's a model of how we can hear from God. Still, there's a lot of confusing things in this passage, and one of the things that probably is most confusing about Jesus in parables is he doesn't often say who is who until later. And thankfully, there's more written here. And even that shows us Jesus' compassion. He's not willing for us to stay confused, but he speaks to us. He's willing to speak. He's more than willing to speak and to clarify things. We just have to keep listening. So Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's a lot more clarity, I think, from the earlier metaphor that Jesus was using. Have life to the full. So earlier we talked about words that we might want to bind to us, might actually want to write on us. And it seems like these are words that we might want to do that with. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Who doesn't want a full and abundant life? If there's something here that's for us, then that might be a word we want to keep with us. We might want to ask God about that word. Ask him, well, what would it look like for me to have an abundant life? So this is a passage for me that I've tried to put on my heart. Jesus reveals that he himself is the gate. And that's encouraging because you can read more about Jesus, more stories about what he did and what his life looked like. He seems to have patience for everyone and a love even for dealing with people as they're confused. Jesus seems to be okay with our confusion. He stays with us. Jesus is the gate, and going through him is the way to life, specifically a full life. And through Jesus, we get saved from the thief's ultimate plan to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus provides protection. And honestly, this reality that Jesus is the gate has helped me hear from him so much more. Because I'm moved by Jesus' efforts to love humanity, even to the point of death. That makes it safe that he's sort of the way I go through something. And this relationship with God is built on confidence and trust, more than a theological explanation or even the science of how God's speech works. I get that because Jesus died for me, he must want to speak to me. Why would he go through all that effort just to leave me not hearing, not understanding, confused some 2,000 years later? That just doesn't make much sense to me. But still, I don't know if it helped me with maybe the weirdness of what would it mean for God to speak to me all the time? What would that look like? Some people might be imagining now how that could go. Me to go outside of the church, find God, he would speak to me. Like, there's just so many ways that people could imagine that happening. So how does it? Sometimes we believe in things, but we don't even know how we would start to practice them. So during a home group almost 3 years ago at the Crosmans and Kafars, they led us in an experience of hearing from God. We took out blank sheets of paper, got a hold of our pens, and we were told to go off somewhere and write, write to God. So I thought, you know, that's nothing new. I've journaled before, I've written to God before. But then they added another part, write down God's response to what you're saying. That changed things a little bit. For me, I felt like I had heard God before, but to just start a conversation when there wasn't something urgent, or when there wasn't a problem, was a little bit new. It was strange. What would I ask him? What would I say? What would that conversation even consist of? I don't know. But if it was true, then I wanted it. I already love God at that point, so I want to know what you have to say to me. So with more questions and hopeful amusement than excitement or fear, I found a corner and I wrote to God. My first thought was how real this conversation seemed to me. In fact, it reminded me of my childhood experiences growing up talking to God at school because I was very lonely. And it was like relearning an exercise or even relearning a language. I remembered how to do it, but it still felt new. It still felt weird. I had to almost try it on. And I was struck at how I was guided not by specifics, but just by the connection that was being created. And by how the things that I felt I was hearing, if I believed them, if they were true, they'd actually change my life forever. I love you. Find your rest in me. I appreciate you. Keep it up. I want you to have my best so you can give my best to others. These were the things I heard. Simple, I think you can find these in scripture, but real, and very real to me at that time. And honestly, it was just a little bit too much for me that first time around. And I tried to suspend the question, is this just me? To hear more. But after a while, I just broke and I had to start reading what I wrote. Then the new question became, if this is true, or why does it seem so true? And why do I desire it so much? Why do I desire it to be even truer than it is? Why does this seem exciting? And then I had a lingering question. Could I just really pick up a piece of paper and start this conversation all the time? That was a strange thought for me. Is God this accessible? I didn't know. And James, an early follower of Jesus, says yes. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. It's kind of amazing how we have an experience of God, and then we go back to scripture, and we just don't even realize or know where that scripture was. I'm sure I must have read that sometime, but all of a sudden, that started to be new to me. Oh, we can ask, and generous, God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That seemed like a promise now. It was alive. It was exciting. It was something new. And for me, it opened up whole new possibilities. All I needed was trust. And trust was just in a relationship where I believed Jesus was good, that God was good, and he wanted to give me good things. Even if I didn't understand everything, even if I didn't know the full trajectory of my life, I think trust here is just thinking, God wants to speak to me. I don't think we have to understand the science of it. I think we just have to answer the question, does God want to speak to me? With a yes. And he wants to speak to me because he loves me. I think that's what trust means here. So I began to look at scripture for promises, for things that I would want to be alive, things that I want to be real for me. And as I was praying, I realized that I wanted to experience more of God's joy, more of God's intimacy, more of God's heart for me. There's a lot of verses like this, like God's joy being made complete, actually in us, in his relationship with us, which to me doesn't make sense. But that was a promise there, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna explore this promise. It seems like nice, fluffy things on the page, but what if that was real? How could God turn these words into a reality in my own life? And so, secret's out, that's been my Lenten prayer the past 2 years, just a different version of it. And I actually have felt God's love deepen in me, like it could stay in me, like it was almost like a well was being created. So instead of a good experience, just going in and out, like sometimes we have in life, there's something that stayed throughout different experiences and even hard times, I could keep receiving this love. And even as God spoke to me personally, God also sent others to encourage me. This is another incredibly important part of hearing from God. God lets us hear for others, and he lets others hear for us. Sorry. And at a conference for the Vineyard, the movement that ECV belongs to, a man came up to me as I was just quietly sitting and worshiping, and he said, you have a blessing of joy on your life, and God wants you to release that joy to others, especially those who are sad or lonely. And even though this man did not know me at all, it connected. It connected with the prayer I'd been praying for almost 2 years at this point, with lengthier roots, just wanting to feel joy, wanting to feel what I probably would have called in my childhood, just happiness. Somehow, God spoke through that person I didn't know at all. And he also didn't know that when he was speaking that, there were memories flashing back in my mind, memories of a less than joyful school experience. And that helped color the verse that we read earlier. While a thief came and took joy from me earlier, someone was releasing it to me now, and not just releasing it to me as a gift, but saying, this is always who you were. There's something sweet about that. There's something special. And I trusted that. I don't know how that guy knew that about me besides God's word and God's voice. But he said it to me, and it connected with a part of my life, 2 years specifically, and the rest of it. And he had never known me. And so I silently cried as I trusted God more, as the God not just of my present experience, but the God of my whole story, the God of my entire life, the God who took a lonely kid and placed him into a family and released the gift of joy that had been stolen. And so these are just a few of the type of adventures fueled by a God who speaks, a God who we can hear today. And at the end of Mark, the writer says, Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. The words about joy from Jesus and other parts of Scripture now have a sign. It's actually a story, a testimony in my life that confirms it. I'm not saying that every verse in the Bible needs a story, specifically my story, but we'll find that as we believe and as we trust God, there are stories that come that give personal experiences with these ancient scriptures. And as God has blessed me, I've attempted to do the same for others. And again, that can be a weird experience at first. Initially, there was a barrier about figuring out, how does God speak to me? Was it journaling? Was it walking outside? Did I get a picture that came through my mind's eye? Did a scripture come to my mind? Did it resonate? I had to work out this just through experience, through friendship, believing that God cared more about me than about any performance in prayer. I don't think that's even the way that we should look at it. We just simply receive and see what God has for us, see what God says, and we try, trusting that in Christ, failure isn't really failure. It's just another opportunity to receive grace, and then moving on and trying again. And the style of prayer actually grows each time you pray. And to be honest, I've tried to make it a little bit of a fun habit. When I meet someone new, I ask God, what do you say about this person? Who are they to you? And I found that God speaks pretty quickly and succinctly when you do this, especially when you have the intention to use this word to build them up rather than to tear them down. And so for the second week of spring break, as with several other ECVers, and we had the chance to practice this a few times, and for those people who went on the trip, it was really fun. It was really cool to hear God speak and to encourage people. So we're staying with a host, and imagine my surprise when I said, God, who is this person to you? And I saw an impression. I actually didn't see this, but I had an impression of my little bunny when I asked the question, God, who do you say that she is? So even though I tried to kill the instinct, my first thought was, I must be making this up. And my second one is, I really don't want to give this word to her. She's not a 12-year-old girl. This wasn't Easter. There's nothing that made me think that earlier that she was a bunny or that God would be saying that. She's a 20-something-year-old woman who works for the community project that we were visiting, yet I felt God said this. So later on, I tried to pray into the image, maybe innocence or intimacy with God, I don't know. These were the interpretations I could think. I didn't give it right then because I trusted that we would probably pray for her at the end. So I was praying in a team, which I really recommend because by the time that we kind of got to me, we'd already prayed, and there were already words that were speaking to her. She already was, I think, being reassured, nodding. There was a sense of peace. But then there was still this bunny that was left. And sometimes when you get a word, you just don't really feel good about not giving it. You just are going to think about it. And I like bunnies, but I didn't really want this bunny to haunt me. I want it more to be a blessing for people, and for her in particular. So I eventually said, excuse me, do bunnies have any significance to you? And then her response was, I love bunnies. And I was like, okay, God, thank you. Thank you so much. I love you, God. And I just said, well, I felt earlier that God said that you were his little bunny. And I think it's just an encouragement, a way that he knows you, a way that he's saying that he loves you. And she started to cry. And even though we were friends at that point, so we were kind of joking at the silliness of the image, the tears were real, and I think the intimacy she felt from God was real too. God had spoken words of his heart for his daughter in an effort to woo her to his living voice. She was already committing so much to God. You can talk to me afterwards about like this project and what it is. It's a lot, and she's doing a lot. But the living voice of God was, I think, something she hadn't really experienced. She was doing things because she knew they were right, because she knew they were good. But what about because it's beautiful, too? What about because God loves her, and that love is something that can fuel her work? This was sort of new to her, and the experience of being prayed for and words coming from that was incredibly important for her. By the end, she was much more interested in learning about this type of prayer, not just for herself, but for everyone that she works for everyone she serves, for her friends, because she realizes that it's a blessing, and I think she felt blessed. The God of love spoke again to build up his body, so more will know that he recognizes and leads his sheep, his children, by name. Bye, Bunny. Sorry. So what do we make of this, and what do we do with it? This is a lot, and some people have experienced this, and we're still trying to figure out how do we deal with the God who speaks to us out of love and friendship. And we know that if we prayed for people, there would be words that he'd speak anywhere, at the grocery store, at school, at work. That's kind of a crazy thing to keep with you. But also, there's some of us who haven't experienced that at all. But what if this is true? Is there something that we'd want to explore? I think what we have to do is trust together. Let's trust that in the remaining amount of time that we have together here, that God will speak to all of us. It might be through a still, small voice. It might be through communion. It could be through worship or prayer ministry. Whatever it is, let's trust that God still speaks today, and that he's been speaking to us all along, through us and to us, and that he desires for us to begin and sustain a life where we hear his voice and we follow his good leadership in our lives. So with that on the table, I just want to give three opportunities that we have to hear God's voice and to let hearing God's voice be a normal experience for us. One is memorizing a piece of scripture. Matt had this idea and was really excited about it. Clearly, it's something that's been done. People have memorized scripture. But there's a way that sometimes it's just, you know, do I really have to memorize it? Some people have a bad history with memorizing scripture. But really, think about that passage that we read, that there's a full life from God and that he wants to give it to us. Imagine just pulling that out in our thoughts when there's a way that we don't think our life is going well, when we don't think the details are matching up to what either we know God has for us or the things we just want for ourselves. That's something that we need, I think, that trust and that promise that God has a full life for us, an abundant life for us. And there are so many other promises in Scripture that are so much different from a lot of things this world has to offer, a lot of things that aren't as good as God completing his joy in us. I don't even know what that means, even though I had an experience where God spoke to me about that. There are so many crazy promises that we can find. So to memorize one of those and to pray for it and to see God start working on that is something that is an opportunity that we have. We also have conversational journaling, the thing that the Kafars and the Crossmans led me in 3 years ago. Just pick out a piece of paper and write and start writing to God. I don't know if you want to do it the rest of the service, but there's actually pencils that you might have in your front of your pews, and you could probably find a piece of paper. You could even do it now, just talking to God through asking him questions that are on your heart, and then trying to hear back and writing God's response. You could even walk while you do it. I've done both. I like walking a lot. But there's different ways that God will speak to all of us. And then there's receiving prayer. Each Sunday we have an experience where we can receive prayer from others. Katie will come up and talk to us about that later. It's just a time where we can ask God to really speak to our hearts, and we can say beforehand, God, could you speak? Would you move? Would you speak about this situation? Again, I find it really helps when we see God as a living person, that we don't just wait even for someone here to pray for us, but we say, God, I know there will be people there to pray for me, but can you have them speak about these things in my life? Because I need someone to speak to. I need someone to help me with that. And I also think, especially if you like the bunny story, try offering prayer. Try asking God, God, what do you say about this person? It could be someone you just met on the bus, at work, to say, God, can you just give me a word for them, a word to encourage them, to build them up? And watch how quickly he'll respond, and then you can deal with how the delivery, as I did. And trust God will help with that too. It's true. So God is here, and when God is present, he asks us to remember the ultimate nature of his promise to be with us. It's not just that God gives us words and that's an awesome activity that we can do. God has a bigger story. It's just the fact that him speaking is a huge part of that. His intervention is a huge part of that. And part of the way that we know that is his promise to be with us in his death and in his resurrection. I'm going to invite up the worship team now. Michelle, not yet. In John, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." Jesus says it again, just saying, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Through the act of laying down his life, a death Jesus chose, not just one that was inflicted upon him, we have the privilege of entering his death since he died for us, building a connection there, a promise there between us. And thankfully, we also have the opportunity to rise with God as he was raised from the dead in the form of Jesus. And in the same way, we have the ability to lay down our rights, our lives, even our own claims, to let our voice in our head be the master instead of submitting to the leadership of Jesus, which means a life of friendship and a life of obedience. In communion, we see both obedience and friendship as Jesus sat around the table with his friends and took the bread, which represents Jesus' body, and broke it, representing the wounds his body suffered. Then Jesus took the cup, which represents the blood that he poured out for us, and he drank from it. So as we take the bread and dip it into the cup, let's ask God what area he desires us to be obedient. What part of his law of love? So God, we ask you to speak to us out of your love and out of your friendship. In a book called Deuteronomy, there's a verse, and it says, "The word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it." God doesn't set up a system or rules for us to fail. He doesn't do that. He relates to us through speaking, like any other person, and we're designed in his image. This is to build a relationship with us. So whether you feel God has been close or far off, if you desire to be led by Jesus to a closer relationship with him, or even if you feel led to start one today, I invite you to come to this table of communion and receive from God, even as you give part of yourself away to a God who, out of his love for us, speaks today.